Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Prime Minister's visit to Ghana, strengthening historical ties. The participants are Professor Ajay Kumar Dubey from JNU and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. The Prime Minister is on a very, very interesting and important visit, which is actually a visit linking the Global South, its growing ties in Africa, to India. And we will, of course, talk about this visit, some historic cultural ties. But first, please join me in welcoming Professor Ajay Kumar Dubey, who's a professor of international studies from Jawaharlal Nehru University. Professor Dubey, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, Professor Dubey, leaders of the two nations have met. They've welcomed growing bilateral trade and Indian investments in Ghana. And they've also committed to deepening development partnerships through India-supported infrastructure and capacity-building projects. So, at the onset, before we actually jump into the significance of the Prime Minister's visit there, what it means for India, what it means for Ghana, and for regional ties between the two regions and countries, let's listen to what the Prime Minister said while addressing the Parliament of the Republic of Ghana.
India is the mother of democracy. Hamare liye loktantra ek system nahi, balki samskar hai. Hazaron varshon se loktantra ne Bharatiya samaj ko nirantar gati di hai. We have examples of centers like Vaishali. The Rig Veda, one of the world's oldest scriptures.
So, Professor, we call this a historic visit. We also call it historic ties. What is so important about this? And just a brief context of the history. Why are we calling it historic?
It's historic because the Indian Prime Minister is visiting Ghana after a very long gap, after 3 decades. It's also historic because the democracy has been established in Ghana after 1996, and you have regular transfer and peaceful transfer of power after elections. It's also historic because India, which is now recognized as one of the rising stars in global area, is represented through its Prime Minister, who is also recognized globally as one of the most successful Prime Minister to lead his country to a developmental path. And it is in these connections that when Indian Prime Minister approaches and meets Ghanaian President, then one finds that this reinforces what was historically very strong ties from the Nehru period, which was Afro-Asian resurgence, non-alignment, where India and Ghanaian President Kwame Nkrumah played the single most important role in bringing Africa and together to a path where they advocated independence for their development approach, for their foreign policy, for their decision-making. And therefore, Indian Prime Minister going and appealing and providing assurance and support to Ghanaian President that we will achieve it even in this fluid global situation, which has changed so much that it becomes a historical visit.
So interesting, you know, against the backdrop of the Afro-Asian movement, non-aligned movement, G7, BRICS, and I think this commitment of leaders from developing nations, from the so-called third world, and I think nomenclatures are, of course, changing as economies and sizes are changing, to create maybe a better balance of decision-making, global power, how global leadership is seen. How do you see this visit?
As you know, currently the world order is in disarray. The United Nations system, which is supposed to mediate the conflicts, has completely failed. Conflicts after conflicts are coming up and UN is completely helpless. Countries like India, which has global respect, is one of the largest, third or fourth largest economy of the world, has very little power within the United Nations Security Council. You have a small state like Pakistan, which is so much debt-ridden and has such bad reputation of being a hub of terrorists over there, is now the president of United Nations Security Council since this week. So you see the world order is changing, and the BRICS and other initiatives in this directions are challenging the existing world orders and are conveying that we need to have a new world order in which the Global South should have a voice. They are the largest number of countries in the world. world and bringing them together, connecting them together, because non-aligned has to some extent got diluted, Afro-Asian resurgence to some extent has become diluted. The Indian leadership that time has mobilized them. Again, it's time. Then in the new world order that is shaping up, the multipolar world, multilateral diplomacy, that India has to take a lead and bring the countries of the South together. And therefore, the visit of Prime Minister to these five countries and also to participate in BRICS is a step in that direction.
You spoke of India taking the lead and an expectation from India, from other nations. In fact, how do African countries, how do, you know, more nations look at South-South cooperation, the role that India is playing as, of course, a regional leader and in setting benchmark, whether it's in information technology, in pharma, benchmarks of cooperation, of helping each other? How is India viewed in these nations?
India is viewed very positively from very beginning by African countries, even the other developing countries, simply because India proved that it had been a successful working democracy. It had been a democracy, it had been a country where the diversity management had succeeded so much. Prime Minister in his address to Ghana Parliament today said there are 250 parties in India, there are 22 official languages, and there are more than 20 political parties in power in different states of today. And he wanted to highlight that this diversity management, this democracy is something that had appealed Africans earlier. Subsequently, in the 90s, we had seen that India also emerged as a major economic hub of the developing world, and it has started showing miraculous growth in IT, in several other sectors. In agriculture, it had emerged in 1960s as a major grain producer. 2.5% of its land could feed the entire country at that point of time. So agricultural development, technological development, IT development, and the current developments in the digital economy, all of them are impressing African countries that a co-victim of colonialism has done so much, has progressed so much, and why can't Africa do? They have lost all hope from northern-led development. They are also apprehensive of financial imperialism that is coming from a country like China, which is only interested in getting the deals by paying more and more money, whereas India does the people-centric capacity building, human resource development, and goes for the project which are demanded by African countries. Therefore, India is seen as very different, both from the developed partners, traditional partners, and from the partners like China, which has financial clout, but the one which gives them human resource development, capacity building, and projects which are people-centric, not regime-centric, and right, not the one which serves the country themselves.
In fact, adverse experiences in the past and democracy have been critical pillars of the relationship and partnership, and you just spoke about a comprehensive, holistic partnership between the two countries and the two regions. So the Prime Minister has said in a joint statement that both nations have elevated their relationship to a comprehensive partnership, which is actually also a very interesting statement.
It's a very interesting statement, because when you have a comprehensive partnership, you are obliged to expand it to multiple areas. You are obliged to review it regularly. There are committees and there are meetings that have to be done in order to review that. And that makes these two countries interact not just for bilateral things, but also for regional and global issues. And only few countries enjoy that, which are important from each other's point of view. And therefore, Ghana has been a very important country in the past, but now it has become a partner which we have comprehensive partnership, like we have in South Africa, like we have some other countries in Africa.
Right. It's also a partnership of, I think, mutual respect also. And how do you see, you know, the Prime Minister being awarded the Officer of the Order of the Star of Ghana?
As the Prime Minister himself said, it's the appreciation of India's growth, its democracy, its image, its peaceful progress. It's also the achievement of India during Prime Minister Modi leadership and respect to the leadership Prime Minister Modi itself. So it's all the appreciation which Ghanaian wants to extend together by honoring our Prime Minister.
Right. You know, Trinidad and Tobago, that's going to be another stop, and I think another feather in the cap of bilateral relations between two countries.
Yes, having good relationship. There is substantial Indian diaspora in Trinidad and Tobago. Around 45% of them are of Indian origin. There had been very, very culturally strong Indian diaspora to the extent. And therefore, when Prime Minister visited Guyana, and now he visits in a very short time to Trinidad and Tobago, where both head of states are of Indian origin, it's a reassertion of India's new diaspora policy that if the countries are ready, if the diaspora is ready, then India is ready to extend additional support and additional initiative for the countries where Indian diaspora is located. And Trinidad is one of them. And Prime Minister's visit will achieve that to strengthen our ties with Trinidad again.
Absolutely. We'd also like to share with you listeners that the mood is elevated in Trinidad and Tobago. As we spoke earlier, there is a huge diaspora and the leaders are of Indian origin. So why not celebrate? And definitely Prime Minister Modi's arrival there will be celebrated. So listeners, on the eve of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Trinidad and Tobago, Akashvani correspondent Sakshi Singh, who is in the port of Spain to cover the Prime Minister's visit, had a detailed conversation with India's High Commissioner to this Caribbean nation, Dr. Pradeep Rajpurohit.
This is indeed an important occasion in the history of the bilateral relations between India and Trinidad and Tobago. As the people of this country, especially the Indian diaspora, are commemorating 180 years of the first arrival of their ancestors to the shores of this island way back in 1845. There is a great cultural connect between the two countries, people-to-people ties, as down the line in the next 80-90 years, more than 120,000 people from India, especially from Uttar Pradesh and Bihar and other corners, came and settled here. They are now about fifth or sixth generations now. So despite being so much long time and despite having so many generations, it is heartening to see the preservation of the cultural ties and the festivals and way of life of our country in this part of the world. And that is indeed incredible.
Let's listen to what Dr. Rajpurohit said about the mood of the public in Trinidad and Tobago and how eager they are to welcome Prime Minister Modi.
As we see all over the world, our Prime Minister is considered as a global leader and there is always an excitement or wherever he goes. Any leader coming from India and especially at the stature of Honorable Prime Minister, there is a great excitement. This is across the social strata, across the government and at all levels.
So euphoria is high. In fact, the Indian High Commission also touched upon the strong cultural and emotional ties between the people of India and Trinidad and Tobago.
Yoga is very popular here. A few days ago we celebrated International Day of Yoga. Hundreds and hundreds of people came here and we had several of such events.
Dr. Rajpurohit also highlighted the key areas of cooperation between the two countries, which are likely to see an uptick during this visit.
Of course, there has been collaboration in the past, but we are likely to see even greater expectation. So areas like agriculture, areas like digital transformation, so not just UPI, but several other aspects, areas like health and pharmaceuticals, they are all looking for India's affordable, high-quality medicines, healthcare system, similarly capacity building, renewable energy. They used to be oil and gas major power, but then they are also now looking to diversify capacity building, a lot of training back in India. They wish to send their people online training, skills development. So there are aspirations here in the country and they look towards India as a major country who can contribute in a tangible manner in their various areas of collaboration.
So we'd like to say thank you for tuning in, listeners. And Professor Ajay Kumar Dubey, thank you so much for shedding light on the historic nature of this visit and what we can expect from future relationships between the two nations and the two regions and different countries of where the Prime Minister is going to visit this very comprehensive tour that he's planned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Prime Minister's visit to Ghana, strengthening historical ties. The participants were Professor Ajay Kumar Dubey from JNU and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.